Good evening. Welcome to Ram Nation Radio on Mile High Sports, AM 1550, KDCO, FM 94.1 in Denver, FM 96.9 in Boulder. What a great night. All the Border War festivities are well underway. Big game tomorrow. Coming off of a very exciting homecoming weekend last week. What a glorious day in Fort Collins. We'll talk about that. We also have a great show with former CSU quarterback Matt Newton joining us in the second segment, and very special guest Coach Jim McElwain will join us during the Ed Bozarth Chevrolet third segment. What a fantastic weekend. Let's talk about last week, recap that a little bit, because it really was special. Homecoming in Fort Collins, it doesn't get much better than it was on Saturday. You had a Utah State team at 4-2, a team that won the Mountain Division last year, coming in posing, you know, a significant threat to CSU's streak here. They played their tails off on defense, and it shaped up to be a fantastic game, down to the wire game. But you show up to the parking lot. I have not seen the parking lot that full and that festive for a long time. I've been to a lot of Ag Days. I've been to a lot of homecomings. But last Saturday, with picture-perfect weather, the lots full to the gills, people tailgating, great food, good friends. I mean, that's what college football is supposed to be about. You spend a good few hours tailgating with your buddies, preparing for the game, enjoying company. And in past years, that's kind of where the fun ended, you know, for CSU fans, is you go into the game and there's not been the best product over the last 10 years. But what we saw on Saturday night, once you got into the stadium was jam-packed, the students were rocking, the whole crowd had some energy that you hadn't seen at Hugh Stadium for a long time. And the game itself turned out to be a little frustrating for Ram fans, I'm sure. The fact that CSU, a very high-powered offense, couldn't get a whole lot going, that's a testament to how strong Utah State's defense is. But CSU's defense rose to the occasion, and they got huge stops, and they kept CSU in the game down until the fourth quarter. CSU had to mount its third fourth quarter comeback of the year. They're just kind of becoming that's their trademark. They hang around, and they just, this is a team that knows how to win. And that's not something you could say prior to the last couple of years here. And that's sort of becoming the way that they are commonly winning their football games. With 9 minutes left, Jared Roberts misses a field goal, and you started to wonder if this was the end. And it starts creeping in, because CSU has this knack over the years of not being able to capitalize on a big crowd or capitalize and keep momentum going when they finally have, they string together a couple wins and you start seeing better attendance. CSU just seems to, and it happened in basketball too, but it just seems they've always found a way, or very commonly found a way, to dump a game like that. But not on Saturday. He misses the field goal. The CSU's defense plays very strongly, albeit benefited by knocking out Daryl Gerritsen out of the game, and Utah State was down to its third quarterback. But Jared Roberts gets a second attempt with 5 minutes left or so to tie the game. It looked like the game was destined for overtime, but a big 50-yard pass play on third down, CSU takes a shot and sets up the game-winning field goal. And the mayhem that ensued was, it was really spectacular to see, because you just do not see it that happen that often at Hugh Stadium over the years. And it's funny, I had a CU friend give me a call, and he was kind of ribbing me and ribbing Ram fans in general, you know, saying, great job on rushing the field against Utah State. You know, what's the big deal? And you know, I know on the RamNation.com message boards over the years, we have ridiculed CU fans for being a little overzealous and rushing their field at every possible moment. But in this case, it was just good to see that kind of enthusiasm and excitement out of the fan base, because it has been lacking so sorely for years. And when you have a period of 10 years, a decade worth of losing, now granted that started turning around last year, but the 10 previous years of that, where the fan base just continues to erode. It starts with the common fan, the casual fan, and then it starts to get into the more dedicated, devoted fans who just can't find the excuse to miss a prior engagement or a youth sports game. You know, they start skipping too, and then it's just a snowball effect. And you wondered how long it would take for this fan base to ever get back to those days, like in 1994 through 1999, 2000, when fans were showing up, win or lose, you know, no matter who you were playing, you were getting good crowds. And it really just took this extended period here. CSU has now won 5 straight home games. That's crucial to defend the home turf and get people excited, because if they're going to games, they want to see wins. But you have this newfound excitement that's kind of snapping that old losing streak, that old losing mentality, and you're starting to get those casual fans back, because the perfect example of a great day's event was last Saturday, where you could go there and spend all day. And that's the kind of game, that's the kind of experience that will keep people coming back. So it was really fantastic to see that. And obviously the way that the game ended certainly warranted an on-field celebration. Great job by the team, and a great experience for the fans to be able to have that. I may be wrong, but I have to look this up. I'd have to get some confirmation. I haven't asked anyone about this, but I think that's the first time that CSU fans have rushed the field since, at least at Hughes Stadium, since 1994, when they played Wyoming, who is this week's opponent. The Border War is tomorrow night, 5 p.m. on Roots Sports. That game is also a sellout, so another opportunity to build momentum, continue to engage the fan base, and set up a very special season. We'll talk more about that. But that game back in 1994, I got to say, that is my number one Border War experience. I've seen a lot of Border Wars. I've probably only missed a couple in Laramie, you know, in more recent years, now that my kids are in youth sports. But I've seen a lot of the great ones dating back to my freshman year in 1991. I've seen a lot of great football games in the Border War. But that 1994 game was something special. That game had all the electricity that last Saturday had, but it had even more on the line, because CSU, earlier in the day, Utah, who was neck and neck with CSU for the conference championship, Utah had lost to New Mexico very unexpectedly, and it opened the door, kind of put CSU back in the driver's seat to win the WAC championship. But they quickly fell down in that game. It was a night game, and there was probably one of the top 3 or 4 highly attended games in CSU history. Place was packed. They had the temporary bleachers above both end zones. The crowd was buzzing. And then you're here in the late in the third quarter, you're trailing 24-7. And it required on a 4th and 10 or so, deep in their own territory, CSU converted a fake punt when Mac McDougal hit Andre Strode on a seam and picked up the first down. It turns out that there was a legal man downfield that was uncalled, so you get a little bit of a break. But CSU went on to rally and come back in dramatic fashion to win that game. And at the time, I was a student. I was writing for the Rocky Mountain Collegian, the student newspaper. And with 5 minutes left in the game, the reporters that go down on the field, so they're in position to go interview players and coaches and get into the locker room. So I was amidst all the mayhem. But as the minutes wound down, it was like an army of fans slowly creeping down the grass end zones. And at that point, there was no seats in the north end zone. The bleachers were above there in the concourse, but the fans start slowly coming down the grass hills, and it was like an army, and they jumped down to the field level, and there was, you know, 20, 30 people deep on the field at the end zone, both sides of the end zones, and just waiting for time to run out so they could run on the field. And there was a couple unfortunate incidents where it looked like time was going to run out, but the ball hit the ground on an incompletion just before the, you know, clock ran out. And so they had to clear the field 2 or 3 times before the game was even over, and took some good ribbing from the ESPN commentators that night. Was a little bit of a black eye, but overall, what a special night that was for the Border War. Speaking of the Border War, that comes up next tomorrow. What perfect timing to have this game when you're coming off a sellout. This, you know, the fact that it's the Border War pretty much, and the fact that you've got some momentum and you're 6-1 right now, it pretty much guaranteed that they were going to sell out another one You've got five straight home wins. And it's the first time we're going to see Wyoming at Hugh Stadium for, you know, it's the first time in 3 years due to the Mountain West realignment. CSU had to go up to Laramie twice in a row. CSU has an opportunity now to go 7-1 and 3-1 in conference play. More importantly, they are very close to cracking the top 25. They're number 29 in the AP poll, number 30 in the coaches poll. So a win this week combined with, you know, a couple losses of teams directly in front of the Rams could put them in the top 25. That doesn't necessarily do anything for anything except for the fact that it's creating more visibility as that so-called front porch for Colorado State University, elevating the profile of the program. But here's what's really exciting to me is that last night, and I got to make a confession here, I'm sitting there watching the Broncos, and I find myself flipping back and forth to ESPNU to watch the most random football game, East Carolina and UConn, because that game has direct impact to Colorado State University. And as I'm watching that game, CSU was getting great secondary exposure. They were getting direct exposure, actually. The commentators were talking about Colorado State and how, if things shake out right, they could be one of these teams considered for a New Year's Day bowl game, such as the Peach Bowl or Cotton Bowl or Fiesta Bowl. And Mark Knutson and I talked about this last week on the show, that for that to happen, CSU has to run the table, and you also have to get a loss by East Carolina and Marshall, who are ahead of them currently in the polls. Now, the college football now uses a committee. They're going to use a committee to select the teams who are making these bowl games. So they'll have their own ranking system and all that. But just to take a rough estimate, you know, Marshall and East Carolina currently are ahead of CSU in the polls. And then you also have to have Boise State lose so that the Rams can make the conference championship and win the conference championship. But I'm sitting there watching, and my wife is sitting there too, watching the Bronco game, and she's looking at me like I have two heads because I spent more time on ESPNU watching UConn tie up the game against East Carolina and have a chance to win that game. Ultimately, they ended up losing by 10, but I had me on the edge of the seat, and that's the kind of stuff that is so invaluable for CSU and for CSU fans. CSU got some very free publicity that night, last night, just by these commentators saying that CSU is 6-1, they've got a great shot, they got a good football program, and they were even debating whether or not CSU should be ahead of East Carolina, who also has one loss currently, and had just a kind of an ugly win last night. So just that kind of discussion and being in the limelight is really good for the program, and it's good for fans in general. Tomorrow night, we've got Roots Sports, 5 p.m. kickoff. A lot of you, a lot of students, a lot of fans got into the game last week very late into the second quarter. There were new stories about it and everything. Do what you can to get up there early because it's going to be another packed house. It's supposed to be 80 degrees. Get there early, tailgate, enjoy the day. That's what it's all about. When we come back after break, we're going to have a couple of guests. We're going to have Matt Newton join us, former CSU quarterback, 2-0 against CU in his career, and we'll have Coach McElwain on in the third hour. I want to first, before we go to break here, introduce, I'm very, very happy to introduce our newest sponsor. We have CB and Potts joining, and I'm excited about CB and Potts. I just went there on Saturday as a pre-tailgate before we got over to the stadium. But CB and Potts has been home of the CSU Rams since 1974. Today, there are 5 Front Range locations across from the Flatirons Mall in Broomfield, just west of I-25 on 120th in Westminster, Greenwood Plaza Boulevard on Arapahoe Road in Englewood, C-470 and Broadway in Highlands Ranch, and of course, the original at 1415 West Elizabeth in Fort Collins, home of the Jim McElwain Show every Thursday night. They've got craft beers, great food, and all the football you can handle. It's CB and Potts Restaurants. You're listening to Ram Nation Radio. I'm your host, Joel Cantalamessa. You're listening to Mile High Sports Radio.